In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Holy Week. These special sacred days, these special and sacred celebrations by which we enter into the mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I'm so happy that you're here, and if you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us here at St. Benedict's. If you were God, what would you have done differently? If you were God, what would you have done differently? Because the fact is that none of us as human parents would ever subject our children to suffering and pain. And part of the great mystery of today is how this good God, how this loving God, how this awesome God that we believe in, the creator of heaven and earth, how did God allow his only son to suffer so much for our salvation? The contradiction of today speaks of all the contradictions in our humanity. We entered raising palms and saying, "Hosanna! Hail the King of the Jews!" They were happy. That crowd was happy to receive Jesus as king into the holy city of Jerusalem. But that same crowd, a few days later, shouted, "Crucify him!" It speaks of the contradictions in our humanity. But it also speaks of a loving God, a God who was willing to give his only son for people who really were far from God's eternal love and reach. It speaks of redemption and salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is so important. That's why it's important for us to celebrate what we celebrate this week. To remember the great mystery of God's love, even if we don't understand it. If you were God, what would you do differently? You know what the good news is? The good news is that we're not God. That if it was up to us, we would have found an easier, cleaner, unbloody type of passion. Something antiseptic like Listerine with very little germs or no germs at all. We would have done something different. But the fact is, this is the way that God chose to save the world. This is what is revealed to us in this reading of the Passion. And every time we read it, and every time we proclaim it, and every time we hear it, we sense the injustice, don't we? How unfair it is for this good, innocent Jesus to be treated so harshly. How difficult it is to see Jesus being betrayed by his closest friends. They even denied they knew him. He was totally abandoned. So even though this week we focus a lot on the physical suffering of the cross, let us first look at the heart of Jesus and try to enter into what he must have felt when those he was closest to all ran away and even denied knowing him. I say this to you because it's good for us to reflect on the reality of injustice, not just the injustice Jesus suffered 2,000 years ago, the injustice in our world today. Because believe it or not, that same kind of injustice still exists. There are still people who prefer to turn their back on suffering. There are people who still prefer not to deal with it. You know, every time I hear the story of the Passion, I'm reminded a little bit about my dad, especially in his final months of life. My father died at a very young age. He was 54. And my father had stage 4 cancer, and it spread very quickly. And a man that was 6 foot tall became 5'5", just shrank. Cancer ate him up. But I remember one of the comments my dad said only once, because he never complained, but only once he said, you know, gosh, I don't see any of my friends anymore. I remember him saying that. I was a seminary student at the time studying theology, and I remember listening to him say, I wonder why it's so hard for my friends to see this. Of course, he meant why it's so hard for his friends to see the suffering of the cancer eating up his body. It's still hard for us to see the suffering, isn't it? It's still hard for us. Yesterday, Deacon Deborah, with her walker, believe it or not, the super deacon, went on the march for our lives. I call her the super deacon. And she was there with her walker. I said, I cannot believe this woman. In a cassock, okay? And a walker. And we're out there. And I heard two parents speak about losing their children in that horrible shooting on Ash Wednesday. I heard one father say that he had a 14-year-old son who was beautiful and loving, and that he would cuddle in the bed with his mom and dad like he was a baby, still at the age of 14. And then on the 13th of February, he was laying there in the bed with his mom and dad being cuddled, and on the 14th of February, he was dead. And when I heard that suffering, when I heard that pain, I realized, you know, this is so much like the Passion, isn't it? It makes no sense. It's so unfair. It's so not what God wants us to be. And so the injustice of our world is real. As we reflect on what happened to Jesus, we must see the face of Jesus in our sisters and our brothers in this world as it is. In this imperfect world, sinful world, a world that's broken in so many ways. Do you know what the good news is? The good news is that ultimately, even though we may not comprehend or understand the mystery of Christ's suffering, we are called through our baptism to enter into the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus, to go from death to life. So as baptized people, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that's the mystery we've entered into. That's at the very core of our existence, at the very core of our life. And so as we gather for another Holy Week, as we start this journey with Jesus on his way to Calvary, let's think about the meaning of human suffering. Let's think about what it means that we live in an unjust world and that you and I are called to bring about the values of the kingdom, to continue to struggle, to pray, to fight, to work for an end to every form of injustice. Because the fact is, there are too many people who are abandoned and forgotten and not cared for. Too many people who may not have financial power, so it means they don't have a voice. Too many people who are still discriminated because of the color of their skin or the language they speak or the place they come from. Too many people who are still not evaluated and appreciated for their capacity and what they have in their heart and mind and are quickly dismissed just because of some superficial condition. We still live in that unfair world. We still live in a world that needs to be turned around. And the value of following Jesus is that we, as followers of Christ in the 21st century, we too must be able to embrace that cross, as difficult as it is, and transform this world from death to life. We have to die to so many things. Die to our own prejudices, to our own fears, to our own insecurities, die ultimately to our sinfulness, everything that separates us from God. And we shouldn't waste any time with all of the baloney that we waste our time on. We waste so much time seeing people superficially, judging things on the outside, not really knowing the heart of the matter. You see all these people who said, "Hail the King of the Jews," and "Look at Jesus," and mocked him. They were totally, totally, totally involved in their fanaticism, if you will, and were not able to see that the Savior was there. That still happens today. You don't know how many people, when you wear this outfit, everybody should be a priest for a day, everyone. You wear this outfit, you get all kinds of questions. But the one thing you hear today is, "Father, I gave up on religion a long time ago. I don't believe in organized religion." I love when I hear that, because I've always thought we're pretty disorganized, if you ask me. We're pretty disorganized. "But I gave up on that organized religion. I gave up on that God stuff. I grew up this way or that way. I was baptized in this church or that church." And people forget it's not about any of that. It's about a relationship with a living God. It's about Jesus who came into our world to save us so that we may go from death to life. And unless we're willing to die to all of those prejudices and fears and insecurities and myths, we are unable to embrace the truth of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that worship is important. I understand that we get up on Sunday mornings and we have 1,000 things we can do. But worship is important, because it's in worship that we're energized to go out and be disciples. Too many Christians today have given up on worship. They go when it's convenient. We must worship. We must come together as people of faith. We must say, yes, God is important. Jesus is important, because God sent his only son. God, who is a loving parent, like I'm a loving parent, that I would never allow my children to suffer in any way. As a matter of fact, if we were all God, we'd do this differently, wouldn't we? We would not offer our only son to do everything Jesus did. But do you know that God's love is so radical that he gave his only son, the ultimate sacrifice? And you and I are called to embrace that truth. That Jesus, who gave himself for us, is calling us to enter with him into that mystery from death to life. So let's make this Holy Week special. Let's make it different. Let's make it a truly holy week in our lives, where we are transformed by Jesus himself. That we allow ourselves to be loved by this God who loved us so much. Because part of the problem with Christianity today is that we don't allow ourselves to be loved, because we don't really believe anyone can love that much. But I'm here to tell you, yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that all of us who believe in him may be saved and have eternal life. Jesus matters. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, matters. The gospel matters. Faith matters. And our world needs that more than ever. You know, one of the experiences I had yesterday when we were out in that march? Young people, I'm sure of every faith tradition, 14, 15, 16, 17, when they saw the collar, I mean, they saw me in that funky outfit, because I had my cassock on, right? But it was kind of different, because then I put on an orange t-shirt on top of my cassock. And then on top of that, I put on my little white Cuban hat with my little Cuban coat of arms here. So they must have thought, who's this freak? I was trying to protect myself from the sun. I was trying to, you know, make a statement. But when they saw this guy in this funky outfit, so many of those young people said to me, "Sir, thank you for being here. You know, teenagers with purple hair and green hair. And, I mean, I saw more color of hair yesterday than I've ever seen in my life. And they would come up to me, sir, thank you for being here. Several times they did that. You know, they probably never stepped foot in a church. But yesterday they were appreciating the fact that there were religious leaders that were there with them walking. Our world needs Jesus. Listen to me. Our world needs Jesus. And our world needs to know the Jesus of love and compassion, not the Jesus of discrimination being preached by so many today, not the Jesus that excludes, but the one that includes, not this crazy new form of Christianity that I don't know where it came from, with all the fundamentalist garbage where they read the Bible the way they want to read it, and they mostly use it to tell everybody else how wrong they are. That's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know from Scripture is the one that loved this world so much that he gave his life so that all may be saved. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.